Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
I want to share a word of scripture with you that we close for today. The book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. The Bible said, Jesus went into Mount Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? These they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at him. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Amen. This is a very interesting piece of scripture, where a woman, the Bible said, was caught in adultery in the very act. How do you catch somebody in adultery in the very act? In some way, it means that when the man came to look for the woman, some people saw them going, so they followed them. And then when they entered in the room, they waited after some time. You know, they say, Hey, Achebu. That is what it means to be in the very act. Hey, Achebo. Meanwhile, it doesn't take one person to commit adultery. It takes two. The guy, we don't know what happened to him. Maybe he wore his trousers and everything and quickly bulldozed his way away from the people. But a poor woman. It was possible that the man was the guy who went rather for the woman. But the woman was caught. And they held her hand. Achoo! Say amen. And they led her. Then they came to Jesus. They said, This woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And according to the law of Moses, such people should be stoned. So Jesus looked at them, looked at the woman, didn't say anything, and started writing on the ground. We are not told what he wrote on the ground. But we can imagine, maybe he wrote and said, The Son of Man came not to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. It's possible that he wrote and said that the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and to destroy, but I have come to give you life, not to destroy you. So he was writing on the ground. But the people were saying that we are still waiting for an answer from you. We are ready to stone this woman. Then Jesus said to them, He that is without sin should be the first to cast the stone at him. Then all the people, from the elders even to the least, they dropped their stones and left. Which means that sometimes when you are in the hurry to condemn somebody, it is also possible that you might be guilty of another sin or the same sin. So I'm telling my message, be the first to cast the stone. It means that if you are without sin, then be the first to cast the stone. Because some people are in the hurry to judge. They are in the hurry to condemn. It's because your sin is not known yet. Because if your sin were also to be known, they would have also put you at the stone squad. These guys who were ready to stone this woman, it is even possible that some of the men have had an affair with this girl before. Because she's a known prostitute in the area. But now, Sema Benti, everybody has picked up stones. But we thank God for the son, and the woman would have bled to death. There are judges today who ought to be in prison, but they are judging. There are lawyers today who ought to be prosecuted themselves. They have to prosecute them, but they are prosecuting other people. There are pastors who ought to be in prison, but they are still preaching. But we are still preaching. As there are pastors, we are very clerical preaching. We ought to be in prison, but we are preaching because our sins are not known. Say amen. There are government officials who don't have no business managing the country. They are better off behind bars, but they are managing the affairs of this country. They are looters of money. They have to prosecute them and put them behind bars, but their sins are not known. Are you there? There are heads of state in our world today who must be at the Hague to be tried for crimes against humanity. But they are still presidents because their sins are not known. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes there are cobwebs in your wardrobe, but nobody has seen it. So whenever a matter comes against somebody, be careful how you judge and condemn. Be careful how you are judging the person and condemning the person. Because if God doesn't show you mercy and your sins are revealed, you can go to prison for it. There are murderers who are still sitting there quietly, and there are innocent people still in remand. There are murderers, killers. When you are pregnant with a child, and the child is 1 month, 2 months, and the child is breathing, the child is breathing, and you take the child the pregnancy to a hospital, and they use forceps and some instruments and cut the child into pieces, and they pull the child out. It's called murder. You are killed. But you are here. If all your four abortions were not committed, one of your sons would have been 17 years old, another one should be 13, another one 12, another one 8. But all are dead. But you are here. Nicely dressed, as if you haven't committed anything. And when you hear of somebody's story, then you will pick up stones, ready to stone the person. Temper justice with mercy. Remember. I said people are wearing clerical. They ought to be in handcuffs. But by the mercies of God, we are still preaching. Ministers, politicians, lawyers, who are standing and prosecuting people. They themselves need prosecution, but their sins are not known. So Jesus said, you are ready to stone somebody, forget that you yourself have committed greater crime. So he that is without sin, let him be the first to cast the stone. The Bible said, being convicted of their own conscience, they all dropped the stones and left. Do you know what it means to die of stone squad? What the stones will do to you before you die? There are people who rejoice when people are in trouble. When they see you are down and they are killing you, they will join forces for them to kill you. Forgetting that you too, once upon a time, you were a sinner. But you are what you are today by the grace of God. If that grace is removed from you, you will be as guilty as anything. You have committed manslaughter, murder. Look, all the Ten Commandments, you have broken all. All the Ten Commandments, we have all broken all the Ten Commandments. So as we are sitting here, Lord, if the holy searchlight of God shines in this room to reveal things that is behind people, nobody will make it to heaven. But by his grace, we shall all see heaven one day. Not because of our righteousness, because he has made us righteous. So we have become what we call the righteousness of God in Christ. You cannot be saved by your own righteousness. What right things have you done? What right things have you done? Compare that with the sins we have committed. You can see that it is the mercy of God that you are still breathing and walking around. There are people who have committed lesser crimes and are paying dearly. And you have committed greater crimes, but you are happy driving your car. But you are judging all. You see people at radio station judging people, condemning people. Those in the radio station, have you not committed such crimes? Say amen. So Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 7, look at the New English translation of that scripture. Matthew 7, 1 to 2. Matthew 7, 1 to 2. Judge not that ye be not judged. Don't judge, ye be not judged. Look at the next verse. Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Next verse, go. It says, for with the same judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With the same judgment that ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Next verse. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? People are ready to correct people. People are ready to correct people. Meanwhile, there is a beam in your own eye. There is a beam. Rather, Jesus said, Jesus talking to you, remove the beam that is in your own eye, so that you may see clearly. To remove the mote that is in somebody's eye. There are people who are self-righteous, self-holy. Hey, when they are talking as if they have never sinned before. When they are talking as if they don't have any sin. Righteousness. Could this kind of nonsense come pass my way? How can you do such a thing? Meanwhile, you are made of velvet and steel. That is, you have your strength and your weaknesses. Everybody has the two. You have your strength, you have your weakness. If your weakness has been shown, don't think you are too strong. What
what you are strong in can be the weakness of another person. When they put alcohol here, you will never drink it. But when they put a woman here, you remove your seat just now. So the fact that you don't drink alcohol, that doesn't mean that you don't sin in other areas. So when I say, you can bring a whole drum of beer, I will not drink one. But that is your strength. What about your weakness also? There is somebody to, you can put 1,000 women, nothing, you just stand there, bolombolo, and everything that's missing, because it's not a womanizer, but put alcohol there. That means that we are all made of strength and weaknesses. So we are all surviving by the mercies of God. Don't be too judgmental on people. Contamination. And sometimes when somebody is sitting at the seat of judgment, as if he is next to an angel. No mercy, no pardon, no nothing. But you are a human being. You have strength. You have weaknesses as well. Sometimes when a father is talking to his son is a bad boy. Doing this, doing that. Foolish boy. Meanwhile, when you were your son's age, only God knows what you did. At Sogakope, Ayalolo 4-1. When you were in secondary school, you carried the whole town on your head. Bar 44, Piccolo Mondo, moving to Keteke, whatever, doing things all over the place. But now you assist in something, judging your son. So take it easy with your son, because your son has your DNA. It is a character trait. So what your son is exhibiting is what you exhibited when you were his age. It is Susuka. Take, be patient with him and help him to come out of it. As God also helped you to come out of your crisis, for which you are a big man today. Yes, show some compassion. Don't just condemn the boy. And there are men who have thrown their children out of their house because they are smoking weed and doing bad things. Meanwhile, you didn't smoke weed. You smoke raw leaves. You still have a 28-year-old boy in the village you left. You haven't gone to look for that boy. That boy was born when you were 70 and a half years old. People have history of bad behavior. But today, he's a father. He's 60 years. He doesn't want to take nonsense. Have no patience. Throw everybody away. Look, you people here. Look, this is my son. I'm wasting my money on this boy. He's talking as if he has never been a young man before. As if you have never been a young man before. Or a young girl before. That is how come you have 9 children with 4 women. All the children have different mothers. Yeah. So who are we to be judging and condemning others? Jesus said, I came not to condemn the world, but rather to save the world. Be a savior of people. Be a savior of people. That is why we move to hinterland, to rural areas, not to condemn the people, but through us that the people will receive salvation. Because we ourselves were once upon a time lost in the world, and we now have been found. That is why the prodigal son, when the son came back, the father didn't throw the son away. He embraced the boy and said, put shoes on his feet, put a ring on his finger, change his clothes, kill the fatted calf, for this my son was lost and is now found. He was dead, is now alive. He was blind, but he can now see. The father took his son back. May you take people back into your life. Say amen. God does not
deal with us according to the multitudes of our transgressions. God does not judge us according to the measures of our sins. But every time God looks upon us with mercy. So we must translate the mercy we have received also unto others. Say amen. Say hallelujah. So sometimes you may be in a certain privileged position where you are supposed to make a decision as to the fate and the life of somebody. And your word matters a lot in the future of that person. Be careful how you judge that person. Be careful that you don't use the gavel to condemn the person to die. There are people who take pleasure to see another person suffer. He takes pleasure to see his enemy at a disadvantaged position. And he rejoices over somebody's plight or demise. But be careful. When they finish with him, they will come to you. There is a proverb in our language that when you see somebody's beard burning, fetch water and put it by your side. Because it won't be long, your beard also will catch fire. The Jews have a saying, when they come for me, they will come for you. When the Germans were moving the Jews to the concentration camp, they were living in houses on the lawn, and you see the Germans coming from house to house, and they have a saying, when they're taking the Jews away and you are standing by your window and you are mocking at them, know that when they finish taking them away to the concentration camp, they will come for you. Say amen. So anytime you hear of a plight, a situation, a very bad something that's happened to somebody, show some compassion there. Be careful how you talk about it. Be careful the way you rejoice about it. Because when they put you in that position, you can even do worse. You can even survive it. And people go through harassment to do what they do. Sometimes you can go temporarily insane to commit an act that will leave you with a regret for the rest of your life. Yeah. You can be temporarily insane. At a certain moment, you can be provoked and you will take something under provocation. You take something and hit somebody and then, bah, the person dies. It's not intended. You didn't intend to kill the person. It was out of provocation. You acted on impulse. But you are going to be charged with manslaughter. You are going to spend so many years in prison for that act. But if you are a person who shows mercy and compassion on others, with that act that you did not intend, you see God coming to help you out. You see God. Because you did it. Just a one shedder. Say amen. Say amen. Oh, are you not happy with what I'm preaching about? But the way you are looking at me, as if I should put the microphone down. People were ready to stone the woman because meanwhile all those people were standing there have also committed adultery. But yes, have been covered up. It's been covered. So anytime you are pointing your finger at somebody, remember the ones that have been covered. So that you put your hands down. Say it. When you are saying it to, say it nicely. Say it with empathy. Say it with sympathy. Say it with love. Say it with compassion. Nicodemus said, does our law permit us to judge a man before we hear him? It means when you don't know the full story, don't make a comment. Because there is always another side of every story. So don't hear one side of the story and then jump into conclusion. You must also hear the other side before you condemn the person. There is always an action to a reaction. Sometimes we only look at the reaction. But what provoked it? It's in the Bible. When I was preparing this sermon 3 weeks ago, I was discussing I was having a discussion with my wife. My wife and I sat down to prepare the sermon. And then we were discussing, and we saw the areas where we were guilty. So So we judge ourselves first. The Bible says that if you judge yourself, God is greater than your heart. Self-condemnation. We were preparing together 3 weeks ago. How we see people. How we condemn things. How we speak against things. Before you hear the full story. How you mustn't carry one. You see, everybody's story in a matter is sweet. Yeah, everybody who is in the crisis, his matter is always sweet. When you hear two people fighting, if you like listen to both sides, everybody has a case. Everybody has a case. They are all justifying what they did. Say amen. David married 300 wives and saw a woman bathing. And told the guy, have you seen that woman who is taking a shower there? Bring her to me right now. So the woman became 301. When David finished having the woman, then the husband, Uriah, came. Because the woman became pregnant. And David used his position to write a very wild letter that sent Uriah to the hottest part of the battle, and then when he's there, pull away from him that he may be slain. So he came, they gave him letters, he carried his own death warrant to the commander in chief. Joab read the letter. He said, okay, your commander in chief says that we should take you to the hottest part of the battle because you are a very skillful person. And then he said, then he told the people, when you take him there, withdraw from him. So they took him there, they withdrew from him, and he was slain. And then he took the wife and married. Then the Lord spoke to Nathan, the prophet. Go to David and tell him a story. So Nathan, the prophet, came to David. I said, David, are you there? He says, I have something to tell you. Oh, go ahead. He said, there are these two people, one rich, one poor. The rich man had a lot of flock, very nice things. But the poor man has a small lamp. This lamp was dear to him. They ate together, slept together, did everything together. And this rich man had a visitor. And this visitor needed food to eat. And this rich man went to the house of this poor man and took his only lamp and killed it and made sacrifice and prepared food for this man who had come. Then David got up. What nonsense is this? Who the hell does that man think he is? He has a lot of flock. And he went and took this man's only lamp. He must die. Kill him. And then he must return the lamp fourfold. As he was speaking, the prophet Nathan pointed his finger at him. You are the man. You are the man. God has blessed you with everything you have. You are rich and powerful. Uriah the Hittite's only wife, you went and took, added to your 300 wives, and killed the man in battle. What sort of selfish man are you? You see, David was quick to judge. The man must die. Then Nathan said, you are the man. You see, people are quick to judge, but you may be the one. So before you condemn yourself. Second Samuel chapter 12 verse 1. The whole story is there. Examine yourself. I'm not saying that we shouldn't instill correction, discipline, but I'm saying that when you are doing it, let mercy, let love, let there be understanding in it. Empathize with the situation. Because you may not know when you will also need mercy. When you will also need somebody to speak for you. Hallelujah. The book of Romans chapter 8. I'm finishing with that. The book of Romans chapter 8. Give me the New English translation of that scripture. The book of Romans chapter 2 verse 21 to 24. Romans chapter 2, 21 to 24. Look at it. Romans 2. Romans 2. He says, we didn't give it the translation. Okay, let me read this one. He says, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? You who is teaching. You know, there are some people who are always teaching people. You are always correcting people. Teachest thou not thyself? We preachers who are preaching, sometimes we should preach to ourselves. Thou that preachest a man should not steal. Dost thou steal? There are stealers wearing clerical. There are stealers wearing bishopric robes. Thou that said a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Go back again. I want to read that scripture. Thou that abhorrest idols, do you commit sacrilege? Do you know that some of us, the ministers, have gone to malams and things to submit to idols, collect powers to do ministry? Sometimes the person posed as a prophet is using familiar spirits. We are preaching people should engage in idol worship. People should not commit adultery. But the clergy, some pastors, have gone to secret places to collect powers to put underneath the pulpit. So Christ is coming not to save righteous people. He's going to save people whom he has shown mercy. Because there is none. We are all like those people. All of us will drop our stone and go away. Because everybody is guilty of something. But the love of God has covered all our sins. Today, may Christ's love cover our sins. And if you are here, you have condemned somebody, you have judged somebody, you have removed somebody from your life, you are unforgiving, you are saying you are supposed to extend help to somebody, you are refusing because of something, reconsider your position. Think about it. Think about it. Because one day you could also be in need and you will need mercy. God bless you and I love you all.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055. +233 26 767 6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.